Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I doubt very much that any of us here ever took a hymnal and looked over that song and attempted to memorize it. I think probably for us, if you know the words to that song, it's just been through repetition. It's just been over and over and over again we sing. When Christ shall come, what's the next line? Then I shall bow
in humble adoration
and there proclaim
my God, how great thou art.
Don't tell me you can't memorize. Don't tell me you can't memorize. How many people here, the first time you came to this building, used some form of map, followed directions, or used a GPS? Yeah, okay. Hands down. How many did today? Okay. Don't tell me you can't memorize. We memorize things all the time. And part of it has to do with just frequency. Frequency and frequency and frequency. We're going to talk about God's word today. Don't tell me you can't memorize. It is really important that we know what we think. We know why we think it, and we know how we think. Jesus will tell us in Mark's gospel, and if you want to follow along on the church app, we have notes, and so you just go to sermon notes, more sermon notes, all the notes up there. If you have your Bibles with you or device, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 eventually. Jesus will tell us in Mark, be careful what you hear. He will tell us in Luke, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear and be careful how you hear, because what we take in, how we listen, what we listen, it affects us. It shapes us. We are shaped by our experiences. We are shaped by our upbringing. We are shaped by our environment. Thank God that even though we are a product of our environment, we don't have to be a prisoner to it. From where we have come from, we don't have to be a prisoner. Behold, all things pass away. Everything can become new in Christ Jesus. But our thinking is so much shaped by the world around us. We make judgments all the time based on what we hear, on what we see, what we live through, what other people live through. And often our thinking can be influenced by news, by social media, by doctors, by scientists, sometimes by Oprah. But there is a constant shaping in our lives from this world. It's like potter and clay. And the world is just relentlessly trying to shape us and form us and fashion us into an antichrist, an ungodly worldview, to press us into its mold. Romans 12:2 will say this: and do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you're going to be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to the image of this world. That word conformed, the connotation of that word, it means specifically, it has to do with your thinking and your character. Your thinking and your character. Do not be conformed to the image of this world. Do not be pressed into its mold. The world has a blueprint, has schematics for us to be pressed into, to be shaped into. And the Bible says, do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed. The word is metamorpho. It's the same word that we find when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And his appearance changed. It's a metamorphosis. Scripture says, don't be conformed into the image of this world. Don't be pressed into its mold. But instead, be transformed. Let there be a change, an actual, a literal change. Let there be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you're able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. that we might know what God's will. It's the same word, that metamorpho. It's the same word where it talks about in 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold him, we are changed. As we behold his glory, we are changed from glory to glory. There is a change that takes place as we behold him. Don't be conformed into this image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we're going to know what's right. That we're going to know what's wrong. What matters. What's tolerant and what's intolerant. By the renewing of our minds. That somehow we need to step out of our environment. Out of all the voices of this world. Step out of that. And out of how it's having a shaping effect on us. We need to be shaped by God. By what God thinks and by how God thinks. Here's the problem. Scripture tells us this in Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your way. Your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That sounds like a problem. We need to be shaped by God's thoughts, and yet, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts and his ways. But it's not teaching us that his ways and thoughts are unreachable. Just so different. If we only had clarity on what God thinks. If we only had a way and we didn't have to guess on what he has actually said. If only he had written it down. His thoughts, his ways, his works, of us how to live, of him showing us how to live. If only. Some people will say, you know, I've read the Bible or I've looked at it before, I've opened to the Bible and I didn't get much out of it. Sometimes I think that can be, I know in my life, that can be an issue of hunger. The number of times, I remember growing up as a teenager, and I'd look in the fridge, and there's lots of food in there, and I'd look in the cupboard, there's lots of food in there, and I would say to my mom, there is nothing to eat. Don't point at him. There is nothing to eat. You know, some places in the world, if you open the fridge and you have a choice, you're rich. If you open the closet and you have a choice, you're rich. But I think about God's word, I think about hunger. Do you know when you should never go to the grocery store? when you're hungry, because you'll just take all kinds of things. I used to travel with more frequency, certainly, than I do now. I served in a role for our denomination, and I was on a plane probably every other month for about 18 years. And there was a lot, for me, that was a lot of traveling. And one of the things, whenever I would go away, my kids would write me notes. And one of the things that I often saw in the note was, don't open until you're in the air. Or don't open till you get to the hotel. Never once did I think, I gotta read this. It's like, I want to read this. I can't wait to read this. And one of the things that one of my daughters did is she wrote out, hand-wrote, every time, hand-wrote out Psalm 121. I look to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and earth. He watches over you, neither slumber. He watches over Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps. The sun's not going to strike you. The moon's not going to strike you. He's going to bless your going out and your coming in. Psalm 121. And hand wrote it. And sometimes it would be in all different colors. But hand wrote it every time. And I loved it not only because of the psalm, but because their touch was on it. It wasn't cut and paste from the internet, print out and stick in it. It was that they hand wrote it. Their touch was on it. And when you think of the Bible, I want you to know this, that God wrote it and his touch is on it. And his touch is on it. Reading the Bible, we do that. If you have a desire to hear God's voice, read the Bible. If you have a desire to know his will, to avoid Satan's traps, we're going to find that in God's word. Discern truth from the lie. It's in God's word. Wanting to draw near to him, wanting to minister to people, to be equipped, wanting to be shaped by the potter, not by the world. Even just how to live everyday life. How do you handle your finances and how do you handle your boss? It's found in Scripture. But loved ones, the end goal is not to just know the Bible. No, and knowing your Bible is good. But the goal is to know Him through the Bible. There are a lot of people who know the Bible who don't know Him. We need to know Him through the Bible. I would hate to just stop at reading the Bible. Jesus will even say this to religious leaders of the day. You search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. You're missing it. You know chapter and verse, but you're missing me. Loved ones, we're not just looking for more information. We're looking for transformation. That metamorphosis, that change, and it's through God's written word. And so I want to give you some tips. I want to talk about some things. And we are headed towards Matthew 13. And once we get there, we're not going to be long, so we're okay. But I want to encourage you to read with purpose, to read with effort, with discipline, and with choice. I know there are wonderful stories, and you've heard them, and maybe you've lived them. Maybe this is your story, and you've told this story. Somebody who was just sitting in a hotel room, and there was a Gideon Bible there, or somebody, Mark will know this well, because he visits prison. somebody in a prison cell opening a Bible, and God speaking to them. Just open it up, and it just jumped out. Tara talked about that today as she was reading through Hebrews. Those verses just jumped out, seemingly by chance, and discovered Jesus. There are other times people are struggling in life, and they just need to hear from God, and they flip through their Bible, and they open it up, and there's the verse right there, and speaks to them. And that's a wonderful testimony. But loved ones, that needs to be the exception, not the rule. See, the Bible was never intended to be a fortune cookie. It was never intended to be a roulette wheel. And it was never intended to be a card trick. Pick a verse, any verse. If you have a desire to hear God's voice and know His will and avoid Satan's traps and discern the truth from lies and be equipped to minister to others, then read the Bible with purpose. And what I'd like to share with you is don't only read the Bible, but read through the Bible. Don't just read the Bible, but read through the Bible. If I am left to my own devices and just to wander through the Bible, there will be books that I never open, that I never make my way to. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture. Some of us are not naturally drawn to some of the books in the Bible. Ezekiel, other than Shauna. She loves Ezekiel. Leviticus might not be a natural bent. But do you know what? Years ago, it's probably 30 years ago now, a guy named Paul Hackett teaching in Bible school. He talked to me, via video, talked to me about Leviticus, and he talked to me about the holiness of God and seeing the holiness of God. It transformed every time I looked at Leviticus. Not as just, oh, I've got to get through this, it's my Bible. I look and I discover the holiness of God. And when Scripture tells us in other places that those who approach me must regard me as holy, pay attention. And the sacrifice that was required and the perfect sacrifice. And when you show up to Leviticus 16, the great day of atonement, pay attention. There is so much in it, but not just at a cursory glance. Nahum, might not naturally just show up in Nahum. Philippians, over and over and over again. There we are again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just on and on. We keep going to places that we have a leaning towards. I love that. Let's read that again. Here's some options about reading not just the Bible, but reading through the Bible. There are so many options. In the push notification 2 weeks before the year turned, I sent out a push notification saying, think through how you're going to read God's word this year. one-year Bible. A couple of people I know, they ordered the one-year Bible on Amazon, showed up in time, and it's just so easy. A one-year Bible is date-orientated. So on January 10th, you read. January 11th, you read an Old Testament, a New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and it just takes you through the year without thinking. It takes... Think. We're good? Okay. Chronological. And you get to see how the books fit together. When you're reading the Kings and Chronicles, you can see what prophets, to the best of their figuring out, what prophets are prophesying during the time. When you're reading through the book of Acts, you'll find the epistles interspersed. Like, it's very helpful. But if you're reading chronologically, man, you're in the Old Testament for a long time. You're in the Old Testament for a long time. Cover to cover. Overview of entire books. One thing that I've done numerous times is just read one book at a time. I will have 66 books, just written them all out, the names of all the books in the Bible, and I will cross off one after I read it, and I won't read that until I get around to the next one. Just going through. I mean, there are ways to just go through God's Word. A designated amount. I've done that too. I've literally counted the number of pages in my Bible and divided by 365. And it tells me that I need to read 3 3/4 a day to get through the Bible in a year. Some people read a chapter a day. And there's so many different styles. There's a life application Bible. There's a woman's devotional Bible. There's a stock car racing edition. Like, I mean, there's devotional kind of Bibles. But let me just say this. I think it's probably enough of that. It's not a race and it's not a contest. It's not a point of pride and it's not a point of failure. It's not even a point of success. It's a point of growth. It's a point of growth. And if you struggle with reading, and some of us do, we struggle with reading, then listen to the Bible through the year. Open up to the same text and follow along. YouVersion, somebody will read God's word to you. There are ways to be creative and think through it, but it's reachable for all of us. And it's not just quantity, although that is a factor. I'm not just challenging us to read a verse a year. But it really does have to do with getting it inside us. One of the things that must change is we've got to become familiar with the Bible. And I don't mean familiarity in a bad way, you know, familiar breeds content. But we need to be familiar with God's word. Just like we are with some hymns and with some songs that we can just sing them, we know where it is. I wonder if that would happen for us with knowing the Bible. So many people will often say, and you might hear them say this, I know there's a verse, I just don't know where it is. And more often than not, they quote it mostly. Mostly. If we can read the Bible with frequency, we will be familiar with it to be able to at least start to narrow it down to a testament. It's an Old Testament or New Testament. Narrow it down to a book. Narrow it down to a chapter. Narrow it down to who said it and when did they say it. Well, that was Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, so I know it must be Matthew 5 through 7. I don't know exactly where, but then I can find it. One of the problems with smartphones is I don't know anyone's phone numbers anymore. I can tell you Brian and Ellen's home phone number. I cannot tell you their cell phone numbers. I don't remember the last time I phoned your home, but because I was a youth pastor in 1989 and phoned their house all the time because their kids were in youth, I can still tell you their phone number. And the number of times I phone Brian now, and Brian Ingbers, that's it. And sometimes that's how we rely on finding verses in the Bible. I will just use my smartphone in the concordance because I don't know where it is. We need to be familiar enough to know, I know who said it, and I know when they said it, and I know who they were talking to. I think as we read God's word, it will help us with this. Being more accurate with what it actually says. Some people will say, you know, the Bible says that God won't give me more than I can handle. Loved ones, I can't handle Thursday. I regularly have more than I can handle, and God never promised that I would not have more than I can handle. There are some things that are going to kill me. But he did promise that he will make a way of escape. When there's a temptation. So whatever purposeful approach we choose to read through the Bible, the one thing we have to do, and here we are in Matthew 13, here we are, it has to do with our attitude. We've got to have a right attitude. We have to have a receptive heart, a humble heart. Jesus will refer to this as good ground or good soil for the implanted word of God, which is able to save our souls. It has to do with seed planting, the seed of God's word in our hearts. Just before we open Matthew 13, can you imagine how the enemy of our soul hates the Bible? Hates the Word of God, the living Word of God and the written Word of God. He hates the Word of God. It has the written Word has the power to change us, has the power to shape us, has the power to increase faith in our prayer life, has the power to expand, has the potential to expand the kingdom of God in our lives and through our lives, to shape the way we think, to shape the way we behave, the way we serve, the way we give, the way we live. As that seed gets within us and is planted well and grows, it will bring forth a fruitfulness. And the enemy hates that. And we see the power of God's word, even with the living word, with the Son of God. When Satan tempted him in the wilderness, Jesus said, "It is written." He wasn't looking up a concordance and trying to find the scroll. It was in his heart. He knew it. It is written. Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil will do all that he can to keep you from reading God's word and from getting God's word into your heart. The first act that he will do, it is such a subtle act of resistance, and it is so effective for so many people. Here we go, Matthew 13, verse 19. I'm not going to go through the parable that Jesus told of the soils. I'm going to just go through the explanation. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. You read the Bible, you don't understand it, so you close it and walk away and say, well, that's that. There's nothing wrong with the seed, but because you didn't understand it, it doesn't stay in your heart. Jesus refers to that as the wayside. It gets deposited and then poof, whatever it was gone. Loved one, would you do not miss this. Pay attention to what happened. The wicked one was present. You think, well, I'm just going to get up in the morning. I'm going to have just this sweet, intimate time with Jesus, reading my Bible. It's just going to be me and him. And you open God's word. Do you know who else is present? We don't often think about that in this beautiful moment with Jesus and his word. The enemy wants to snatch away that seed. And he will do it in all kinds of ways. But number one, especially, you don't understand it. Because he knows of its potential. Every time you read the Bible, the enemy wants to snatch that seed away. I just don't understand it. Okay. That's why we have study Bibles. That's why we have study groups. That's why we have family, to talk about God's word together and to discover. Next thing, not only is there a subtle stealing away because we don't understand it, it's one of the most dangerous things, we don't understand God's word. Then there's tribulations of persecutions that come, that we face because of the word. Here we go, verse 20 and 21. But he who received the seed on stony places, that's he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Hallelujah! That's a good word. Thank you for that promise. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. There is a world system that is contrary to living according to the word of God. And when that seed doesn't take root, the growth potential, it withers. It promised life. How exciting. But when things got tough, we couldn't endure. Received God's word about healing, but nothing happens. We just get sicker, and the seed withers. Receive God's word about tithing. We begin to give, and something does happen. We lose our job, and the seed withers. See, there is intentional opposition, and that seed, when it's planted, it needs time to grow. And so at the first sign of tribulation, persecution, resistance, don't bail, but continue to stand and believe God's word is true. If the enemy can't keep that seed from being planted, he'll do everything he can to keep it from taking root. And that's where meditation and memorization comes. You have the ability to memorize. Then sings my soul. You have the ability to memorize God's word. You're not too old. You can memorize God's word. It's just repetition over and over and over and over again. We do it all the time. Recipes, directions, over and over again. Lastly, Jesus talks about this. We'll close with this. Not something external, but something internal. Verse 22. Now he who received the seed among thorns, see who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There are lots of cares in this world, lots of desires for riches. That changes and focuses our attention elsewhere. They spring up, even if we didn't even know they were in our hearts. They spring up. Sometimes it's stuff around us, but sometimes it's stuff within us. And maybe this is the most violent. And it talks about choking out the seed because maybe it's the enemy is just so violent because it was so close to potential of fruitfulness. Keep it from being planted is what he'll try to do. Keep it from taking root and keeping from producing life. Watch what happens. If it does, if the seed's planted, if it takes root, if it grows, watch. There's fruitfulness. Last verse, verse 23. He who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. And indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The fruitfulness is up to the Lord. God gives the increase. And there's different variations of what it looks like, 30, 60, 100. But don't we want a fruitful life? Loved ones, just remember this. As I challenge you, today it's spiritual discipline is the word. Next week it's prayer. And the following week it's rest, Sabbath. As I challenge you about getting into God's word and getting God's word into you, as I challenge you in this, remember this, loved ones. The time of planting and the time of harvest are not the same. Look at the farmers. They go out and plant. They don't come out the next day. Look at it. Are we ready yet? Ready to bring it? Nah. It's not the same season. May we plant God's word in our heart. It's got to take time to take root. And then it's got to grow. And as it grows, there will be a fruitfulness. Choose life today. Reading his word, that's the planting. Thinking about and understanding what you read, that's allowing it to take root. And applying it, that's not letting it be choked. And you will be able to know his voice. You'll be able to know his will. You'll be able to know how to navigate through life. You'll know how to see the enemy's traps. You'll know how to discern between the truth and a lie. Because not only will you know, if you're reading through the whole Bible, not only will you know God's voice, you will know God's tone. You will recognize his tone. So even when people quote scriptures out of context, out of meaning, no, that doesn't sound like God. Because I know his word, and I know him through his word. Let's go ahead and pray. God, as we gather here this early part in January, God, would you help us to choose to plant the seed of the word of God in our lives? We thank you that if we plant more seed, we will get more harvest. It's just the way it is. It's the law of the harvest. If we want more of a harvest, we need to plant more seed. And so, God, I pray you'd speak to each one of us of how are we going to intentionally and strategically, with maturity, receive the implanted word of God into our lives. God, whether it's the Bible through a year, whatever program, whatever plan, whatever strategy, God, God, would you lead us and help us to not only have the desire for your word, but the discipline of your words. God, that we would be disciples, that we would be disciplined ones. And that as we have the desire and the discipline, then we would see the delight of fruitfulness. God, help us to understand your word. May it bring forth good fruit in our lives. And God, I pray for all of us this morning, wherever there has been seed that's been planted that has been choked out. This is Pastor Kathleen talked about restoration. I pray for resurrection life of wherever that seed, that promise, even the promises we've been standing on, like Jacob saying, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and the answer's been no, or the answer's been wait, I haven't seen the answer. God, I pray for resurrection life tied to your word that will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives. God, we want to be shaped by you, our thinking. God, help us, our minds to be renewed by thinking on your word. God, you're the potter, we're the clay. Shape us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.